Paul already mentioned, we appreciate those who are visiting with us. We're glad that you're here. And as we've read in Proverbs there, chapter 30, about those different generations that are mentioned, I don't want us this morning to be a part of that generation that does not bless their mother. So this morning I want us to consider what I'm going to call model mothers. I want us to consider the importance of godly mothers. There is a generation that curse their father and bless not their mother. I don't want us to be a part of that generation. I don't want us to let the importance of motherhood go by without recognizing that. It's good to see you this morning. It's good to be able to come together this morning to, having remembered the Lord's death, now to spend some time in God's Word and to sing and pray together and give. And I hope that we're encouraged. As I look out on our society today, I see that marriage is on the decline and having children is on the decline. The message is being sent that marriage is not important, that having children is not important. What's important is you look out for yourself, you take care of your career, you make a lot of money, you work hard all week long, but don't engage in marriage or having children. And it really is a shame that our culture and even around the world is losing sight of the high ideal of marriage and children that is formed in the Word of God. I think maybe we forget that marriage is a divine institution. It's not an accident. It's not an evolution. It's not just something that happens to come along. It was by purpose and by design that God made marriage. And then He said, be fruitful and multiply, also the having of children. I want us to be reminded this morning, as we as a nation think about Mother's Day, I want us to think about some godly model mothers that we find in the Word of God. And I think it's good to bring our attention back to Bible characters as our role models. Today in our culture, it's about looking to Hollywood or looking to some sports figure or someone else as a role model, when we need to be looking at these men and women in the Word of God. And I've selected a few model mothers this morning. Whether we're a mother or not, we can learn from them. We're going to see their godly qualities, and I would hope that all of us would want to have these things in our life, but especially our mothers here today who are raising their children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. You're to be commended for that, and hopefully you will see in yourselves these same things that we're seeing this morning. And our young ladies here this morning, our young Christian women, I want you to think about growing up one day and becoming one of these kinds of mothers. And the young men here this morning who will be thinking about marriage one day, I want you to think about selecting a young Christian woman who would have these qualities. And even the rest of us can look at these principles that we're going to see this morning and see that I need to have these things in my life too. I think there's something here this morning for all of us. But there are generations that come and go, and the proverb writer says, he mentions four generations here that are really ungodly and wicked and terrible. And one of them is the individual who would not be willing to bless his mother. To get up each day and not care about the hard work that she puts into raising children. To dismiss the work that she does and the lessons that she teaches and the sacrifices that she makes. There's a generation that just gets up and just dismisses all of that and goes on their merry way. And I want us to be different this morning. If we still have our mother present, it would be a good time to say thank you and bless them for that. Some of us have had our mothers have already passed from this life, and we look back and we see these godly characteristics in them, and we appreciate that. But let's look this morning at some model mothers. Turn back with me to Genesis chapter 16. I want to begin this morning with a mother that I believe probably doesn't get as much attention maybe as other Old Testament ladies, and that is Hagar. In Genesis chapter 16, you recall how that Hagar is given to Abraham by Sarah in order to have a child. Abraham and Sarah do not believe that they will have their own child because they believe they're too old. And so Sarah has this plan for Abraham to have a child through Hagar. In Genesis 16 and verse 4, and he went in unto Hagar, and she conceived. And when she saw that she had conceived, her mistress was despised in her eyes. And Sarah said unto Abraham, my wrong be upon thee. I gave my handmaid into thy bosom, and when she saw that she had conceived, I was despised in her eyes. Jehovah judge between me and thee. But Abraham said unto Sarah, behold, thy maid is in thy hand, do to her that which is good in thine eyes. And Sarah dealt hardly with her, and she fled from her face. I want us to consider this morning the model mother in Hagar of someone who is willing to endure patient affliction. We talk a lot about Abraham and Sarah and Isaac and Jacob and those individuals, but what about Hagar and Ishmael? They sort of drop off the radar, I think, sometimes in our study. Here's a woman that is going to bear a child, and from the very beginning, she's going to have a difficult life. Sarah dealt hardly with her, and she fled from her face. And the angel of Jehovah found her by a fountain of water in the wilderness, by the fountain in the way to Shur. What in the world is she doing out in a wilderness? What happened to that nice life of being with Abraham and Sarah? Abraham was wealthy. What happened to that nice life of being with them? She's now out in a wilderness by herself. And he said, Hagar, Sarah's handmaid, whence comest thou and whither goest thou? God cared about her. And she said, I am fleeing from the face of my mistress, Sarah. And the angel of Jehovah said unto her, return to thy mistress and submit thyself under her hands. And the angel of Jehovah said unto her, I will greatly multiply thy seed, that it shall not be numbered for multitude. And the angel of Jehovah said unto her, behold, thou art with child, and shalt bear a son, and thou shalt call his name Ishmael, because Jehovah hath heard thy affliction. And he said, he shall be a wild ass among men, and his hand shall be against every man, and every man's hand against him, and he shall dwell over against all his brethren. And she called the name of Jehovah that spake unto her, thou art a God that sees, for she said, have I even here looked after him that sees me? Wherefore the well was called Beer-lahai-roi, behold, it is between Kadesh and Bered. And Hagar bare Abraham a son, and Abraham called the name of his son whom Hagar bare Ishmael. And Abraham was 86 years old when Hagar bare Ishmael to Abraham. Turn over to chapter 21 with me, Genesis chapter 21. 14 years later or so, when Sarah gives birth to Isaac, Abraham is now 100 years old. Look at what we read in Genesis chapter 21, verses 1 through 6. Isaac is born, and then look at verse 8. And the child, Isaac, grew and was weaned, and Abraham made a great feast on the day that Isaac was weaned. And Sarah saw the son of Hagar, the Egyptian, whom she had borne unto Abraham, mocking. So Ishmael is about 14 years old now. Wherefore she said unto Abraham, cast out this handmaid and her son, for the son of the handmaid shall not be heir with my son, even with Isaac. And this is the verse that Paul quotes in Galatians chapter 4 and refers to Hagar and his allegory there. And the thing was very grievous in Abraham's sight on account of his son. And God said unto Abraham, let it not be grievous in thy sight because of the lad and because of thy handmaid, and all that Sarah saith unto thee, hearken unto her voice, for in Isaac shall thy seed be called. And also of the son of the handmaid will I make a nation, because he is thy seed. And Abraham rose up early in the morning and took bread and a bottle of water and gave it unto Hagar, putting it on her shoulder, and gave her the child and sent her away. And she departed and wandered in the wilderness of Beersheba. She's in a wilderness again. She's by herself. Today's language would be a dysfunctional family. The father's not around. Does she give up? Does she quit? She's a single parent. We hear about that all the time today. I think sometimes we forget about Hagar. Ishmael is 14 years old plus a few more years. I don't know how old Isaac was when he was weaned, verse 8. Some suggest a few years. 3, 4, 5 years. This would make Ishmael a late teenager when they're out in the wilderness for this second time. Verse 15, and the water in the bottle was spent, and she cast the child under one of the shrubs. Not a little baby, a teenager. She's raising a teenager. Parents today, have you raised any teenagers? Is that challenging? Shake your head this way. And you do that with just one parent, that's even more challenging, isn't it? She's out in a wilderness with a teenager. And yet we find that she doesn't quit. She's a model of patient affliction. She went and sat down over against, verse 16, him a good way off, and as it were a bow shot, for she said, let me not look upon the death of the child. And she sat over against him and lifted up her voice and wept. And God heard the voice of the lad, and the angel of God called to Hagar out of heaven. This is the second time that God comes to a woman out in a wilderness to help her. What aileth thee, Hagar? Fear not, for God has heard the voice of the lad where he is. Arise, lift up the lad, and hold him in thy hand, for I will make him a great nation. And God opened her eyes and saw a well of water. And she went and filled the bottle with water and gave it to the lad to drink. And God was with the lad, and he grew, and he dwelt in the wilderness, and became, as he grew up, an archer. And he dwelt in the wilderness of Paran, and his mother took him a wife out of the land of Egypt. By herself, no father around to help raise this child out in the wilderness. This teenager. She kept going. She drops off the scene in Scripture over in chapter 25. She's mentioned just briefly in the descendants of Ishmael there, but she drops out of the scene. But I would put her as a model mother. Today we have that situation even in the church. Sometimes there are mothers who are raising children by themselves. Now I know that sometimes that is by their own choice and they're reaping the fruit of their choices, but sometimes that's not their choice. It's not their choice to be by themselves. And yet they're doing it on their own, and it's difficult and it's challenging, and yet they're raising their children by themselves like Hagar did. And they're doing a good job. This is someone who's not going to quit. This is someone who's not going to give up. This is not someone who's going to blame the world and blame circumstances and blame society. But given the situation that they're given, to be cast out, that's not something they want. They're going to make the best of a bad situation and do their best in raising their child right. I believe Hagar is a model of that patient motherhood in affliction. And we can have that same attitude today. The number of children being raised in our nation today in a single parent home is extremely high. Extremely high. And again, sometimes that's by someone's own choosing, and sometimes it's not. But when we're by ourselves raising a child, we can raise them in the right way. And we can be like Hagar. What a great model for us today. When I think of model mothers in the Old Testament, I think of the mother of Moses, if you'll turn with me to Exodus chapter 2. And I think of a mother who was willing to have this resolute protection of her son. When the evil forces of the world are around us, and they certainly are today, a mother can rise up and say, I am going to protect my child at all costs. You cannot have my child. Devil, you cannot have my child. The world, you cannot have my child. And that was the approach of Jochebed, the mother of Moses. We know the story about the king or the Pharaoh who arose and knew not Joseph. And he's a wicked and ungodly man, an oppressive man, and he makes the Israelites work hard. And then on top of that, he says, I'm going to kill all the male babies. So we pick up the story in chapter 2 and verse 1 that there went a man of the house of Levi and took to wife a daughter of Levi. And the woman conceived and bare a son. And when she saw him that he was a goodly child, she hid him 3 months. And when she could not no longer hide him, she took for him an ark of bulrushes and daubed it with slime and with pitch. And she put the child therein and laid it in the flags by the river brink. And his sister stood afar off to know what would be done to him. And the daughter of Pharaoh came down to bathe at the river, and her maidens walked along by the riverside, and she saw the ark among the flags and sent her handmaid to fetch it. And she opened it and saw the child, and behold, the babe wept. And she had compassion on him and said, this is one of the Hebrews' children. Then said his sister to Pharaoh's daughter, shall I go and call there a nurse of the Hebrew women that she may nurse the child for thee? And Pharaoh's daughter said to her, go. The maiden went and called the child's mother. And Pharaoh's daughter said unto her, take this child away and nurse it for me, and I will give thee thy wages. And the woman took the child and nursed it. The child grew, and she brought him unto Pharaoh's daughter, and he became her son. And she called his name Moses and said, because I drew him out of the water. Turn with me to Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 22. Jochebed is a model mother because she planned ahead. Mothers, plan ahead. Be that protective planner to say, world, you cannot have my child. In Hebrews chapter 11, there is a statement here that we greatly need today. That with regard to the parents of Moses, the Hebrew writer says in Hebrews chapter 11, in verse 23, by faith Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months by his parents because they saw that he was a goodly child. And then I want you to underscore this in your Bible. And they were not afraid of the king's commandment. You are not going to push me around. I'm not going to be pushed around by political figures and worldly rulers and ungodly decrees and ideologies. I am not going to kill my son. You're not going to kill my son. And I'm going to stand up to that. They did not fear the wrath of the king, and we need that. And we have this great leader, verse 24, by faith Moses, when he was grown up, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to share ill treatment with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. We have this great leader who refused some things. Wonder if he got that from his mother. Because she refused some things. I don't fear people in charge who are telling me to do something that is contrary to the word of God, which is kill my son. No. That's my line in the sand that I draw. And we need that today. We need that courage and that conviction. Today it's about fear. It's about fear. And when people in control dominate your life, we just live in fear. What are they going to say? What are they going to do? How is this going to affect me? And we cave, and we give in, and we let the ungodly people in charge set the tone, and that's dangerous. Like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, like Daniel, like James and John in Acts chapter 5, who said we must obey God rather than men, we have an individual here, a mother here, who refused, I will not fear the wrath of the king. I love my son, and I'm going to protect him at all costs. We need that attitude today. Now, I don't know of anybody today who's made some ruling that all of the male babies are to be killed. But we do have ungodly rulings and ideologies that are wrong. And I want our mothers to say, no, you cannot have my child. Evolution, you cannot have my child. Secularism and humanism and atheism, I'm sorry, you can't have my child. I'm not going to let you have it. You can't bully me. You can't oppress me. You can't make some law. I'm going to refuse that. And I'm going to stand up for what is right. What a beautiful mother who had the forethought and the consideration and the plan to go against what was wrong. And what a great model of resolute protection today. When I think of a model mother, I think of Samson's mother. If you'll turn with me to 1 Samuel. That should be Judges chapter 13. We're getting to Hannah in just a minute, so that was probably what was on my mind when making the PowerPoint. Judges chapter 13. Another model mother that comes to my mind when I think about great godly qualities, I think about Samson's mother in Judges chapter 13. And I describe her as a model of rule following. We need today godly mothers who, when God gives them a set of rules from His Word, the mother says, I'm going to follow those. I want to be what God wants me to be. I'm going to follow what He tells me to do. I'm not going to listen to society and the world and be the popular one who does what the world says, but when God gives me a set of instructions, I'm going to follow that. What a great attitude. When the angel of the Lord comes to Samson's parents, verse 2 of Judges 13, there was a certain man of Zorah, of the family of the Danites, whose name was Manoah, and his wife was barren and bare not. And the angel of Jehovah appeared unto the woman and said unto her, Behold, now that thou art barren and bearest not, but thou shalt conceive and bear a son. Now look at this. Now therefore beware, I pray thee. What he's about to say is an instruction to her. He'll get to Samson in just a minute. This is an instruction to her. You're going to have a child, but you have to follow some rules. And she did it. Drink no wine nor strong drink, and eat not any unclean thing. For lo, thou shalt conceive and bear a son. Now this is rules for him, and no razor shall come upon his head, for the child shall be a Nazarite unto God from the womb, and he shall begin to save Israel out of the hand of the Philistines. Then the woman came and told her husband, saying, a man of God came unto me, and his countenance was like the countenance of the angel of God, very terrible. And I asked him not whence he was, neither told he me his name. But he said unto me, behold, thou shalt conceive and bear a son. And then here are the rules again. And now drink no wine nor strong drink, and eat not any unclean thing, for the child shall be a Nazarite unto God from the womb to the day of his death. And the same thing comes up again in verse 14. Today, there are a lot of women who say, I'm not going to follow any rules. I'm not going to follow the Bible. I'm liberated. I want to do what I want. I'm going to live any way I want. She followed the rules. She did what God told her to do, and then she raised her son in the way that he was supposed to be raised. And I know that because verse 24 and 25, Jehovah blessed him, and Jehovah began to move him to do his work as a judge. Later in chapter 16 and verse 17, it should be 17, Samson himself says, there has not come a razor upon my head, for I have been a Nazarite unto God from my mother's womb. Who made sure of that? His mother, who followed the rules. And God lays down rules for parents and mothers and families and how our children are to be raised today. And a great model is someone who says, I want to do that. Give me the rules. I'll follow them because I know that that's what's best. I know that that's how we can have success in the sight of God. The world may not care about that, but I do. What are they? Let me know what they are and I'll do them. What a great model for us today. Now to Hannah, 1 Samuel chapter 1, if you'll turn with me there. We need mothers today who are like Hannah, who are a model of religious priority. God is first. My children are for God. I don't think about, I want my child to be the smartest kid in the world. I'm not thinking about that. I'm not thinking about, I want my kid to be the richest kid in the world, the smartest kid in the world, the most successful kid in the world by a worldly standpoint. She's not thinking that. You know what she's thinking? Lord, if you'll give me a child, I'll give him back to you. You are the priority in my life. What a great model for us today when today is so much about the secular. It is about money and education and looks and appearance and popularity and all of that kind of thing. She was just a godly mother who wanted to raise a child to be a godly child and serve the Lord. And by today's aspirations, that would be foolish, and yet that's the very thing that God is looking for. We know the story how that she's one of two wives of a man named Elkanah. She's the barren one. And she was in bitterness of soul, verse 10, and prayed unto Jehovah and wept sore. And she vowed a vow and said, O Jehovah of hosts, if thou will indeed look on the affliction of thy handmaid and remember me and not forget thy handmaid, but will give unto thy handmaid a man child. And we're going to talk about this handmaid matter in just a moment when we get to Mary. We even see it here. Then I will give him unto Jehovah all the days of his life, and there shall no razor come upon his head. I will give him back to you, Lord. That is a model mother who from babe to growing up, it's all about I'm raising this child so that they will become a faithful Christian one day and serve the Lord faithfully. That's what I'm going to focus on. And that's exactly what happened. When you come down to chapter 1 and verse 26, when she brings Samuel to Eli at the tabernacle, She said, "O my Lord, as thy soul lives, my Lord, I am the woman that stood by thee here praying unto Jehovah. For this child I prayed, and Jehovah hath given me my petition which I asked of him. Therefore also I have granted him to Jehovah as long as he liveth. He is granted to Jehovah, and he worshipped Jehovah there." So he stays with Eli. He grows up in that environment, and he becomes a judge himself one day. And Hannah prayed and said, look at chapter 2, verse 1, "My heart exults in Jehovah. My horn is exalted in Jehovah. My mouth is enlarged over my enemies because I rejoice in thy salvation. There is none holy as Jehovah, for there is none besides thee. Neither is there any rock like our God." We won't take time to read the rest, but if you read the rest of this prayer, Hannah makes contrasts between different things, and God can do this, and then he can also do this. He'll do this over here, and then he'll do the opposite over here. God is great and powerful. What a strong faith that she had in God. And to love him enough to say, "I'm going to give my child to you." I'm going to call that religious priority. And she's a model mother because she knows how to make priorities. What's really important is raising a child to serve the Lord. What a great model for us today. Turn with me to 2 Kings chapter 4, one last model mother in the Old Testament before we turn to the New Testament. Turn with me to 2 Kings chapter 4. We had a lesson a few weeks ago from this passage where the Shunammite woman in the time of Elisha recognized a great quality in him. She recognized him as a man of God. You may recall that lesson. Well, later in the account, in chapter 4, Elisha says that she will have a son, and she does. But that son has a physical problem. His head is hurting, verse 19. And the servant says, "Carry him to his mother," verse 20. "And when she had taken him and brought him to his mother, he sat on her knees till noon and then died." That's a sad situation, isn't it? To be a mother and have your son die on your own lap. So what did she do? Well, this is in the age of miracles. This is in the age where there can be resurrections. I know that we don't have that today, but I know that we can have this same attitude. So what did she do? She went up and laid him on the bed of the man of God and shut the door upon him and went out. Now look at this. "And she called unto her husband and said, Send me, I pray thee, one of the servants and one of the asses, that I may run to the man of God and come again. And he said, Wherefore wilt thou go to him today? It is neither new moon nor Sabbath. And she said, It is well. Then she saddled an ass and said to her servant," now look at this, "Drive and go forth, slacken me not the riding, except I bid thee." In other words, "You get me there now." This woman believed that she could get to Elisha, the man of God, and get help, and that's exactly what happens. We know the rest of the story, that eventually Elisha goes up into the room and lays himself on the child, and he is raised from the dead. But look at her tenacity. Look at her persistence. "Drive and go forward. Slacken me not the riding." Don't delay. Don't stop. I've got to get to him. What an attitude of a mother. You see this in the New Testament with regard to the Syrophoenician woman who had a child that was demon-possessed, and she got to Jesus. She wasn't going to let anything stand in her way. She wasn't going to let the apostles stand in her way who tried to deter her. She didn't even let Jesus' own words deter her. "I am going to get to Jesus." Look at her persistence. Look at her tenacity. Look at her fortitude. She doesn't give up. She doesn't quit. you drive hard and get me there. And she was rewarded for it. Now I know that we don't live in an age of the miraculous like that. I know that. But can we have that same persistence and tenacity to get to God and His Word and His truth and what can help our children? I'm not going to let anything stand in the way. Drive and go forward. Get me there. What a great attitude. Can we have that today? Can we be like Elizabeth? Turn with me to Luke chapter 1, who is a model of unwavering belief. In Luke chapter 1, the angel appears to Zacharias first, and they're told that they're going to have a child in their old age. And unlike Abraham and Sarah, who laughed, Elizabeth believes. Now, we're told that Zacharias did not believe, and that's why he is caused to not be able to speak. Verse 20, because you believed not my words. But there's no indication of this in the life of Elizabeth. And so we find in verse 24, and after these days, Elizabeth, his wife, conceived, and she hid herself 5 months, saying, thus hath the Lord done unto me in the days wherein he looked upon me to take away my reproach among men. He can give me, he has the power to give me a child in my old age, and I believe that. And it comes down to the announcement. Look at verse 26. Gabriel comes and makes the same announcement to Mary that she's going to have a child. And it comes down to verse 37. For no word from God shall be void of power. And Elizabeth believed that. When God says something, when He makes a promise, when He tells me something, as incredible as it may sound, I believe that because no word from God shall be void of power. Now look at what happens in verse 39. And Mary arose in these days and went into the hill country with haste into a city of Judah, and entered into the house of Zacharias and saluted Elizabeth. And it came to pass when Elizabeth heard the salutation of Mary, the babe leaped in her womb. And Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. And she lifted up her voice with a loud cry and said, blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb. And whence is this to me that the mother of my Lord should come unto me? Look at that now. Mary is pregnant and Elizabeth is viewing her as the mother of my Lord. There is some belief going on here beyond just the fact that I'm going to have my own child. I now believe that Mary is carrying, verse 32, the Son of the Most High God. Why? Just simply because God told me these things. And these things are true. Verse 44. For behold, when the voice of thy salutation came to my ears, the babe leaped in my womb for joy. Now look at this. And blessed is she that believed, for there shall be a fulfillment of the things which have been spoken to her from the Lord. She recognizes the importance of belief, and she's probably talking about Mary here, the she, Mary. But she brings out the importance of believing and the fruit and the promise that comes from that. Ladies, mothers, young women, there are a lot of things in the Word of God that are promises, that are things that the world would say, nah, you know, heaven, nah, forgiveness of sins, nah. But you believe these things. And you know these things to be true. And you carry them with you. And you're not going to waver. Because no word from God shall be void of power. Not one word. All of it will come to pass. And what a great model that is for us today in an unbelieving world. While we're here, we need to talk about Mary as a model mother. With regard to Mary, look at verse 46, and Mary said, "My soul doth magnify the Lord, and my spirit has rejoiced in God my Savior, for he has looked upon the low estate of his handmaid. For behold, from henceforth all generations shall call me blessed." And she has a number of other good things to say there about God. We'll stop there. I just simply want to focus in on verse 48. She viewed herself as a model of humble submission. I am the Lord's handmaid. Use me as you will. And if that means bringing a son into the world that will eventually be crucified on a cross, I will do that. I'm your handmaid. I will do what you want me to do. We see this even back in verse 38. Mary said, "Behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word." Be it unto me according to thy word. I'm your handmaid. You tell me what I'm supposed to do. What a great sacrifice. And we need model mothers like that today. And you say to someone, "I'm just the Lord's servant." When somebody says, "What are you doing?" "I'm serving the Lord." "Why are you living a certain way? Why are you raising your children a certain way? Why are you attending church services?" "I'm a servant of the Lord. I do what He wants me to do. And I look forward one day to be rewarded for my doing." One other thing, if you'll turn over to chapter 2 later, when Jesus' parents bring him into the temple, Luke chapter 2, and we have these words of Simeon, verse 34, "Behold, this child," speaking of Jesus, "this child is set for the falling and the rising of many in Israel," and that's a great lesson in itself, "for a sign which is spoken against. Yea," look at this, "and a sword shall pierce through thine own soul." Mary said, "I'm here to be used, but that would entail a sword piercing through her own heart." And we see that especially when she's standing at the base of the cross, and she's seen how the world has mutilated her son and nailed him up there. And she's at the base of the cross. Yeah, a sword pierced through her. And mothers know what that would be like. To be looking to see somebody beating your son and spitting on your son and whipping your son. Yeah, a sword would pierce through her heart. But you know why she did all of that? Because I'm the Lord's handmaid, and I'm just going to do what God wants me to do. And that's going to include some difficult times. And then last of all, turn with me to 2 Timothy chapter 1. We have Lois and Eunice, the grandmother and the mother of Timothy, who are a model of shared faith or planting faith. Here I am as a mother, and I'm going to plant that in my child. I'm going to pass that along. I'm going to share that. And we read so many great things about Timothy in the Word of God that we don't even have time to talk about that. Where did he get much of that? His own mother. What a beautiful thing. And he didn't squander that, and he didn't just dismiss that, but all of those things that his mother had done for him in raising him in the faith, he's now going to put that to use in being a fine Christian and in service to Paul. And so Paul says in verse 5, "having been reminded of the unfeigned," this is sincere, it's not hypocritical, it's genuine and sincere faith "that is in you, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and in thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded in thee also. What a model mother to receive the faith that she had gotten from her mother, and then she gets it, and then she passes it on to Timothy. That is one of the most, if not the most important thing to pass on. And I get to stand here this morning, married to a woman whose mother also happens to be here, who passed it on to her. And we see the benefits of being able to be married to a Christian who got her faith from her mother and her father. And I'm the recipient of that. And on Mother's Day, what a great thing that is. Not passing on, not, the priority is not physical things. I want to make sure you've got X number of dollars. I want to make sure, you know, you look a certain way, but I want to make sure you have faith in God, in Jesus Christ. And we know that it started early because of chapter 3 and verse 15 when Paul says that you have known the sacred writings from a babe. Eunice had taken baby Timothy and raised him on the Word of God. What a great model today. Well, we're going to stand in just a moment and sing a song of invitation. I want to say thank you to all of our godly mothers here at Warfield Boulevard. All of the mothers who now are, all of the mothers maybe, Lord willing, who will be, our young women here. Let me encourage you to take these women that we've studied this morning as your role models. You don't look to Hollywood. You don't look to sports figures. You look to these godly women. And you be like them, and you will have that same reward that they have. Be patient and steadfast in any affliction that you might have to go through in life. You have a resolute protection of your children. You say to the world and to the devil, you cannot have my child. Follow all the rules that God lays down. Give your children back to God all the days of their life. If something is wrong or troubling and you need God to help you fix that, have a persistent drive to get that. Have an unwavering belief in the power of God's Word. Have a humble submission to say, I'm just simply God's servant. And plant and share your faith in your children each and every day. And God will reward you just like He rewarded them. If you're here this morning and you need to respond to the gospel in some way, we have the water ready for you to be baptized into Christ if we can encourage you to do that. Or if you need to come back to the Lord in some way, we can encourage that as well. I'm so glad that we have model mothers, not only in Scripture, but I believe here today. And let's go out and have these principles in our life so that we can be blessed from the Lord. If we can help you in some way, why won't you come as we stand and sing?